Well, well into January. Yeah, quickly, huh? I mean, it just seemed like Christmas to me, anyways. And I hope you're remembering to write 2014 on your checks and on your forms, which I find myself challenged at times to do. And then now there's people who made New Year's resolutions. I'm sure all of you who have, you're already practicing them. And or perhaps you're rationalizing around them. A bit of advice, I've given this before. I, in order for me to not suffer any more disappointment in myself, I stopped making New Year's resolutions. And so that was my resolution 1 year, never to do it again, and I've kept that resolution. And I've been very happy. I have not been disappointed in myself that I can't live up to all my goals and all that. Never could. Anyways, but anyhow, but before you settle into a new segment of your life here on earth, it might be wise to ask a larger question as you begin the new year, this new year of your life on this earth. And that is a larger question. What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Not only with this year, but altogether and ultimately, what are you doing here? And why are you here on this planet? Why aren't you on some other planet? I'm sure there's plenty of other planets that have intelligent life, but why this one? It's a kind of a scary question, especially if you have no idea what the answer to that question is. If you're coming here to church on a regular basis, weekly basis, you probably know the reason for your being here isn't to make a killing in the stock market, or it isn't just to make a living. You know, there's some people, that's all they do is just eke out life, just try to make a living. That's what it's all about. But the old catechism, the Baltimore Catechism, it said, we're here to know, to love, and to serve God in this life, and to be happy with God forever. Now, that's not a bad answer, even now. That's pretty good. But there are lots of ways to express the happiness objective. And so you're here to fulfill God's purposes. You're here to honor God by your work, by your life, by your job, by your labor, by your relationships, and by your choices that you make in life. And I think if Winston Churchill was right when he said, to be fully stretched is a pleasure in itself. For to be fully stretched is a pleasure in itself. It's good to be stretched to become all that we can be. And if you inhabit your potential fully, yeah, to love and to be creative, to give your unique gifts to the world, if you do that, if you do those things, then you're probably among the happy ones in this life. The great scholar and physician who I mentioned last week, and I'll mention him again, Albert Schweitzer, he says this, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I do know. The only ones among you who will be really, really happy are those who will have sought and found out how to serve. Those are the ones who are truly happy. You seek out and find a way to serve others. Get out of yourself. What am I doing here? Why are you here? Well, I think Jesus provides me an answer to those questions. He shows me the way to be in this world. In fact, his early followers were called the people of the way. They weren't called Christians. They were called people of the way. It was a way of being in the world. It wasn't about beliefs or anything else, about a way of living and being in the world, very much like the Tao Te Ching. It's the way. It's a way, it's a process of transformation from one's ego to one's essence, to living from one's essence, which is God's essence in us. So what took place in Jesus is to take place in you, in me, and in everyone. Jesus, who is entirely God, entirely human, is like all of us. Everyone is confronted with the same task that he was confronted with. And what was he confronted with? And what are we confronted with? Well, we're all called upon to let the divine express itself freely and unfettered in our life. We are to give birth to the divine in the world, in ourselves. We should become like Jesus in living out our own lives. Like him, we live not out of our egos, but out of our essence. The transformation process is one about going from ego consciousness to Christ consciousness. But all too readily, we have made Jesus into a cult object. We adore him. We venerate him. But he has been given to us as someone to follow, to be like, to become like, not just to worship. Jesus is not primarily an object of veneration. He's a subject of an internal process of being filled with the divine fullness. And so what we experience in him, we should experience in ourselves. He's our blueprint, he's our prototype, he's our archetype. And he meets us not from outside, but awakens from within us. So Christ is a symbol for the awakening divine figure within us. And so here, the major role is played not by imitating, but by conforming to. It's conformation, to conform to that divine figure that's in us. And the point is not to discover it, but rather to uncover it. Because uncover the divine in us, just as it was manifested in Jesus. And so, one of my mentors of late, Jean Houston, she wrote a book called God-Seated. And she says that we're all God-Seated. That the divine sleeps within all of us like a seed. Just as the seed developed in the human Jesus, so it's designed to awaken and unfold in you and me, in every person. That seed is to come to life, that divine figure that is in us. Jesus was completely transparent. God shone through him, lit up in him. That's how his disciples saw him. That's how John the Baptist points to him today and sees the Spirit upon him. That he lit up wherever he went. People could tell that God was in him by what he did and how he talked and what he said and how he acted. The same thing has to happen to us, too. God would like to unfold himself in you, to show up in this world through you, to make himself felt in this world through you. God would like to present himself through you. St. Paul said, and it took him a while to get there, like it takes all of us. This is a process. It doesn't happen in an instant. It takes a while. But hopefully we're going through the process of transformation in our lives. And finally, we'll get to, and I hope to, in my own life, in the same place Paul did. And it took him a while to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's rather Christ who lives in me. That's what we have to do, is allow Christ to live in us. Jesus came to cure us of a lot of false notions about God and about ourselves and about the world. And one of those false notions is that we live separate from God. That's an illusion. That's not reality. It may appear so, but it's not true. So in 2014, let us, if you haven't already done so, to wake up to the truth of who you are that Jesus revealed, that we truly are one with God, and that we emerge from God, that's where we came from, and we are to reflect who God is in this world. Our essence is God's essence. And though we manifest it sporadically, it has been in us from the very beginning. Why not make it more real? And do it all the time rather than here and there. So let your light shine. Let God shine in you, light up in you. That's the answer to the two questions at the start of this homily for me. That's why we're here and what we're called to do. You'll hear the song later. One of the verses is, "Become the love you receive." I hope you've all received it so that you can become it.